So I'll begin by saying that later this week is one of the major Celtic holidays of the year, Lugnasa. And Lugnasa begins on the evening of July 31st and continues to the day of August 1st. So like the Jewish calendar, begins at sunset. The ancient Celtic people envisioned the world, envisioned the year as having, being in a big circle. And there was sort of a lighter half, a yang half, and a darker half, a yin half. And Lugnasa is the top of the circle. It's the, you might say, the pole of archetypal masculine energy in the course of the year. And of course, this time of year, August is not, it's not the longest day of the year. The longest day of the year was back in June at the solstice. But, you know, in places other than the Bay Area, it would probably be around the hottest point of the summer, the thick of summer, you know, what is sometimes called the dog days of summer, you know. And so that's what Lugnasa celebrates, the midsummer festival. And it's really seen as this kind of high point of this outward expansive energy in the course of the year. And so I thought, well, what do I want to talk about if I'm going to talk about Lugnasa? And I thought probably the closest thing related to Buddhism would be something like saying yes to life. And so what does it mean to say yes to life? And I think the first thing I'll say is that, you know, of course, we've all heard of this Buddhist idea of enlightenment, you know, and this idea is, you know, whatever enlightenment is, it's, you know, beyond anything we can conceive, and it's, you know, an alternate state, a non-dual state, and we can't imagine it. If I think that it's something separate from me, then I'm misunderstanding it and all that stuff. But one kind of rough and ready way to think about enlightenment, I would say, is it's a state where you're saying yes to everything. You're saying yes to all human experience. And of course, that's a challenging thing when you think of it, because there are some experiences that are very easy to say yes to, and there's others that are, it's very natural to say no to those experiences, you know. And so I want to share a very short poem that I love by E.E. Cummings. It's one of my favorite E.E. Cummings poems. And it's an incredibly short poem, just two sentences. Love is a place. And in this place of love, move with brightness of peace, all places. Yes is a world. And in this world of yes, live, skillfully curled, all worlds. And this idea that there's this expansive idea to love, that love is a state that can actually embrace any other state of being. And much in the same way that the affirmation of life is a kind of mind state that can embrace all other human experience. And so what would it mean to say yes to life? I think the starting point is, do you say yes to yourself? Forget the big world out there. Do you say yes to being the person you are? Do you say yes to the fact that you are alive in this world right now? Every single human being is a miracle. Every single human being is a precious gift. You know, do you occupy the fact that you are a precious gift? You know, and of course, these are challenging questions because it's very natural. We all say yes to some parts of ourselves and we say no to other parts of ourselves. You know, what could you do to move more in the direction of saying yes to exactly who you are in the present moment? You know, we all have flaws. We all have things we're working on. We all have, you know, ways that our lives are totally put together and other ways our lives are messy. You know, that's just what it is to be human. Can you say yes to your full humanness? You know, and the people that really can say a deep yes to themselves, I've met some of these people, and they have an extraordinary energy. It's vitalizing to be around those people, you know, because there's just such profound acceptance and profound permission to be yourself in their presence. And so that's one area of yes. Another area of yes, paradoxically, is can you say yes to the things that you want? You know, like the big things that you want, the big blessings in life, when they actually arrive, can you say yes to them? The things that you've longed for your whole life, when it shows up in front of you, can you say yes to it? You know, that's a challenging thing because, again, we all have these dialogues about deserving and rewards and all that. And often when we get the thing that we most want, that's when we're most confronted with, but I don't deserve it, and you know, all these kinds of things. Can you just say yes to what you want? Can you say yes to what you long for? Can you say yes to your desires? Can you say yes to your needs? All important questions. Then there are those parts of the world out there that are, you know, it's easy to say yes to sunsets and redwood trees and blue whales and stuff like that. But there are parts of the world that are not so pretty, you know. And I think I want to make clear that the yes of Buddhism is not a yes of resignation. It's not a yes of sort of cutting off and numbing out, you know. Yes, those people have problems and it doesn't affect me, that kind of thing. You know, there's this great line in a Lou Reed song. There are problems in these times and, ooh, none of them are mine, you know. And it the line cracks me up, but that's not Buddhism, you know. Buddhism, it's very much a yes informed with compassion. Yes, there's suffering in the world, and yes, that is calling me to do whatever I can do to address it. And in all likelihood, I'm not going to be able to do a whole lot. In all likelihood, I'm going to be able to do a little more to the people in my immediate area where I can have an immediate impact. In all likelihood, I'm not going to be able to do much at all to have an impact on things at the national level or the global level. And I have to say yes to that also. You know, I do whatever I can do. And then there's a lot that I just can't control. And part of saying yes is saying yes to all of that. And then there are the difficult experiences in our own life. Illness, aging, things like this. And it's so hard to say yes to these things. You know, with aging, the way aging works is that there's something that you, your whole life, you're able to do, and suddenly you're not able to do it anymore. You know, and it might be something very athletic. Might be something as easy as opening a jar or taking a shower or something like that, you know. And that's how aging announces itself sometimes. And there's tremendous challenge to ego in any of this, in sickness, in aging. And you could say that is the teaching of it. You know, and again, this thing, enlightenment, it sounds wonderful. But the thing that's not so wonderful about it is we're called to give up our ego. And ego doesn't like that, you know. Ego wants to say, you know, can I have all the good stuff of the enlightenment thing but still be me, you know. Ego wants to play that game. And so all these challenges are opportunities to let go of ego, to let go of the control we thought we had, to let control of the world we thought we deserved, to let go of who we thought we are, so that who we really are can emerge more fully. And of course, the ultimate challenge is death. And to say yes to life means to say yes to death also. And of course, we live in a very much a death-denying culture, a culture that likes to view death as, you know, morbid and strange, and why would you think about that unless you're super depressed or something like that? But there's a way that death really underscores the preciousness of life. You know, sometimes in meditation retreats, they'll have a, you know, they'll have a question, you know, say an angel appeared to you and told you that someone in your family or someone in your office or someone who in your neighborhood was going to die at the end of the week and you didn't know who it was. How would you treat the people in that group for the course of that week if you knew one person was going to die? You know, like how, you know, think about how you would be so generous, so attentive, so careful, you know, so careful of what is this, what is this, if this is the last time I'm ever interacting with this person, you know? And of course, the good news is there's not an angel appearing to you putting out a hit list on someone, you know? But all of us have limited time. And we live in a society in which lots of people live to old age, but not everyone, you know? And saying yes to death is just not taking anyone for granted, not taking any meaningful human moment for granted, you know? And can we say yes to the intensity of life in the moment, embracing it fully in the moment without the without any guarantee of what's going to happen next? You know, that's in some ways what Buddhism is asking of us. So along these lines, I want to read another poem. This is a poem by Mary Oliver called When Death Comes, which is paradoxically one of the most affirmative of life poems I've ever heard. When death comes, like the hungry bear in autumn, when death comes and takes all the bright coins from his purse to buy me and snaps the purse shut. When death comes like the measles pox. When death comes like ice between the shoulder blades. I want to step through that door full of curiosity, wondering, what is it going to be like, that cottage of darkness? And therefore, I look upon everything as a brotherhood and a sisterhood. And I look upon time as no more than an idea, and I consider eternity as another possibility. And I think of every life as a flower, as common as a field daisy, and as singular. In each name, a comfortable music in the mouth, tending, as all music does, towards silence. Sorry, I need some water. In each body, a lion of courage and something precious to the earth. You feel that? Your body, a lion of courage and precious to the earth. When it's all over, I want to say, all my life, I was a bride married to amazement. I was a bridegroom taking the world into my arms. When it's over, I don't want to wonder if I've made my life something particular or real. I don't want to find myself sighing or frightened or full of argument. I don't want to end up having simply visited this world. You know, and when we're in our head, sorry, I'm losing my voice here, I don't know why. When we're in our head, full of argument, sighing, justifying ourselves, making excuses, we're not vividly alive. You know, what would it mean to show up vividly alive in your life? So I'll pass out the quote sheet, which has the Mary Oliver poem and the E.E. Cummings poem. On the back, the top quote is from Sang Sen, who's the third Zen patriarch. And this is from the verses on the face mind. The way is perfect, like vast space, where nothing is lacking or nothing is in excess. Indeed, it is due to our choosing to accept or reject that we do not see the true nature of things. And this whole idea that by choosing, saying yes to some things and knowing some things, we're missing the big picture. And the only way we see the big picture is by saying yes to it all. From the Sage of Concord, Ralph Waldo Emerson, belief consists in accepting the affirmations of the soul, unbelief in denying them. This whole idea is that there's something at the soul level that does say yes to everything. And we're really aligning ourselves with something very deep within us when we're saying yes to everything. And in some ways, cutting ourselves off when we're playing this game of, well, I like this, but I don't like this, and I don't like part of that, you know. We're not aligned with this deeper place in ourselves. Two from Henry Ward Beecher, remarkable preacher of the 19th century. He was actually the brother of Harriet Beecher Stowe, who wrote Uncle Tom's Cabin. Most of the shadows of this life are caused by standing in our own sunshine. That's so true. And also the art of being happy lies in the power of extracting happiness from common things. You know, when's the last time you got joy from the fact that you have hot and cold running water in your place where you live, or that there are paved sidewalks, or, you know, that there are birds making music in the morning, you know? The poet Wallace Stevens says, after the final no, there comes a yes, and on that yes, the world depends. No was the night, yes is the present sun. E.E. Cummings says, I imagine that yes is the only living thing. In other words, the moment in which we're saying a full yes to experience, then in that moment we're fully alive. Anais Nin says quite simply, life shrinks or expands in proportion of one's courage. From Louise Hay, who talked a lot about the law of attraction, she has this mantra, all is well, everything is working out for my highest good. Out of this situation, only the good will come. I am safe. It will work miracles in your life to have that point of view. Alicia says, we cannot face up to what lies ahead without facing up to what lies within. And so there's this profound correspondence. How much can we say yes to ourselves, and how much can we say yes to the world? And the more we can say yes to ourselves, the more we can say yes to the world. Daniel Howson says, you're only as weak as you let yourself become, and you're only as strong as you allow yourself to be. You know, and it's this funny thing to recognize how much strength and how much power actually has to do with my own choice and how much permission I give myself to be that way. Catherine Corrigan says, I trust the divine unfolding of the universe as it flows through me now in this precious life of mine. Jeanette Winterson says, what is no? Either you have asked the wrong question or you've asked the wrong person. Find a way to get to the yes. Nesta Erskine says, one thing about yes and no is that you can't say one and leave the other. When you say no, it definitely means yes to something else. So true. And Shannon Alder says, when you are joyful, when you say yes to life and have fun and project positivity all around you, you become a sun in the center of every constellation and people want to be near you.